Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
To our veterans, we say thank you. And on this Veterans Day here in America and Remembrance Day north of the border, very special time to always reflect and thank, Marty, those who have served and continue to serve.
Yeah, I think it's a very important day. I was actually talking to my kids about it yesterday, how, you know, in the U.S., we call it Veterans Day. In the Commonwealth or in Canada, it's Remembrance Day or the Armistice, as we called it back home, which is the same, but in a different way of recognizing and remembering events that have happened over the many, many years, and the veterans aspect and their contribution to how life is right now. So it definitely is a big thing. I'm supporting my Army West Point hat and shirt, you know, for two things, because it is Veterans Day and, you know, with my son going to West Point, but also, because they are at Niagara this weekend playing Friday and Saturday night. So I'm like, okay, I'll be wearing that a lot this week for, you know, both situations, to remember and thank the veterans and everybody that, and I know it's for the veterans, but I also want to include everybody that's still serving, because they're a big part of what's going on. But also because there's a couple of big hockey games over the weekend.
Yes, and, you know, with a really heavy NHL schedule again tonight, you can imagine just the number, and you saw it last night in a smaller sample size, you know, just the ceremonies, the pre-seed games, the acknowledgments in-game. It was a beautiful touch in Edmonton with a 100-year-old veteran last night that was featured on the Monday night Amazon broadcast across Canada. It was really, really beautiful. So, yeah, it's a very, very important day, and everything that we then talk about and have talked about and will talk about is because of the opportunity to do just that and our freedom to do so. And
well, I was maybe going to do that maybe later in the show, Duffer, but I think because we're talking about it, maybe the best opportunity, like, to just mention that. So last Friday, I had the opportunity to be at the Western New York Heroes Gala, the Red, White, and Blue Gala out at Seneca Niagara. And over 1,000 people in attendance, a big fundraising. Me and Sal Capaccio was on stage for a little bit, auctioning off a couple of dinners, and it was just amazing. But a couple of veterans, and I met so many veterans. I was sitting at a table with a Gold Star mother that lost her daughter in Afghanistan, and they have been doing fundraising. At first was to do scholarships, and they do the scholarships, but now they fundraise to basically sponsor dogs in the dog training, the Positive for Heroes program that Chris and Lynn at Western New York Heroes have, and it's amazing. But I met a couple of veterans that really impacted my night, and one was a 101-year-old veteran that was there, and he spoke and said, and he was sitting at his table when they went and talked to him, and they said, what's the key? What's the key to life? You're 101 years old. You've lived a long, long life, and you've seen a lot of different things. And he said, live every golden minute, like live and enjoy every golden minute. He's 101 years old. He's a veteran. He's seen a lot of things, and that was his key to life. And I remember, I'm going to, like, live every golden minute, right? That was one. And then I met this other veteran. He was honored as the veteran of the year. And this gentleman was in the Vietnam War, flew helicopters, was shot down. His helicopter went down, actually was shot in the shoulder, and the bullet stayed in the shoulder, which was good for him because he did not bleed. Like, he wasn't bleeding out. Like, it just got stuck there, but he got captured. He was a POW, prisoner of war, for 5.5 years in northern Vietnam. And for 2 of those 5.5 years was in solitary confinement. Like, it just, and then he was, after 5.5 years, was released, brought on home. And I'm like, I don't even think I could survive 5 days in solitary confinement, let alone 5.5 years as a prisoner of war. Like, what an amazing, person to say thank you. Thank you for your service. Thank you. And now what he's, after that, like what he's done in his life and being able to have an impact on many people in his family and around, just amazing, right? So that whole gala was at a perfect time to just celebrate veterans, celebrate what Western New York Hero does for veterans, but also to just get so many incredible stories.
And because it falls when it does, and we're already, thanks to the weather, definitely already thinking about the holiday season.
Yes.
But yes, many are, you know, very eager to get decorating for Thanksgiving and then Christmas. It really is just a reminder to embrace family and friends and everyone that has been a part of the memories. So, so we're at a special time and it's a special day, and
yes.
I feel like Dave Grohl, the Foo Fighters, when he started performing Under Pressure, and he's like, that's it. The show's over. There's nothing I can do now. From here on out, that's the best song. There's nothing we can now play. Yeah. So I kind of feel like that in this moment, the hockey.
We unloaded everything in the first 5 minutes, and now we're going to talk about, well, you know what? It's true and it's not true. The important stuff we discuss, but there is, like Ryan S. Clark from ESPN is going to join us, talk about Olympics. There is a couple of big games coming up, Utah, Colorado for the Sabres. There's stuff around the league, but you're right. Like, the important stuff, and I mean, if we could do a whole hour on stories that we've heard over the years and people that we've met over the years when it comes to veterans and the military and everything, we probably would do a full hour.
And to your point about health, you know, everybody has challenges every day. We have seen the Sabres be hit with a very strange combination, and unfortunate one at that, of illnesses, ailments, personal situations that have ripped a significant part of this team out of the mix within the first, not even 20 games here. So now they're getting set for 3 on the road this week. They're in Utah. They'll take on the Mammoth tomorrow. It's the Avalanche on Thursday. It's the Red Wings on Saturday. All this on the heels of a Saturday loss in Carolina, in which the Canes pumped in a couple empty netters to win 6-3.
Yeah.
The fallout from it is 1 win in the last 7 games, still missing 6 players, and one of those players, Jiří Kulík, is now out indefinitely. Mm-hmm. It could be months. The hope is he'll play again this season. He has a blood clot issue. And this does what to this team?
Well, it does put a little bit more emphasis on the players that are in the lineup, or maybe more emphasis on trying to get Zucker back earlier and trying to get Benson back earlier. And where's Norris is at? Like, I think that when you're missing one or two, like, you're like, okay, we can kind of put it together. And, you know, Roseanne has been playing, you know, well, and let's see what Auslan has got. And let's maybe load up the top line with McLeod, Tuck, and Thompson and see where we got for short term. But you're thinking in the long term, you're going to get some of these pieces back. But when you hear Jiří Kulík has got a blood clot issue, and even the question of saying, will he play again this year? Because we know with blood clot, what has happened is it's so unpredictable. You get updates in 8 weeks from now, and then you're like, oh, it's going better, right? It's the medicine and whatever is helping, but you don't know if it is going to help or not. So that's a worry for, you know, the Sabres and for Jiří to know if he'll even play this year. As we talk, we're going to talk Olympics, but it's also, you know, a situation where Jiří probably could have been on the Czechia team for the Olympics. And now there's probably a very big question mark as to, will he even get that experience? Will he even play by February? We don't know. Zucker hasn't had solid food in 9 days. I mean, this is going to take a little bit of time for Zucker to get, they don't even know when he'll be able to skate, to eat, to get his strength back. And Benson is still not joining the team for practice. So these are all things that you're thinking, okay, 2-3 days, somebody's getting sick. And then all of a sudden it's a viral, you know, infection that is taking a lot longer. So that's a problem. That's a problem offensively, because you're struggling to find the rhythm with your lines and with your personnel that you have.
Right. The offense is 26th right now, and the power play has dipped to 25th, you know, in part due to absences, in part due to lack of productivity before some of the injuries really kicked in. So this is a tough combination. And I mean, when you look at it that way, and it's one thing to say, load up the top line at 5-on-5. It's also interesting that you're saying that, and they did it on the heels of a very recent commentary by you, move Tage back to the middle.
Yeah.
So, it, which to me makes more sense now, because I'd rather rather, that's interesting choice of word, not necessarily, you know, like there are options here is all I'm saying. And perhaps for the sake of balance, you may have to go back to McLeod on one line and Thompson on another, because what we saw last game was the trusting of three centermen in the third period, and two of them were named Kozak and Krebs.
Yes.
So this is, and this is nothing about Kozak and Krebs. This is about, because you're playing back to back here against the Mammoth and the Avalanche. One would assume it's not going to be like Carolina, where you have 3 days in between and you can lean on three lines.
Yeah.
You're going to try to extract as much as possible from four lines here. And how do you do that against two teams that play with elite pace?
Well, I think what, like when you'd mention Tage maybe going back to the middle, so you have Tage and McLeod, and maybe you have, you know, Krebs or Roseanne on the, or, you know, or not Oslin, I should say, on the next one, maybe Kozak in there. Like, the reason why I think Tage back to the middle would make more sense is because I feel like you have to find yourself duos, you know, on lines. And I think, like, one duo I would go with would be, okay, let's put Tuck and Thompson as a duo. Put Thompson in the middle, put Tuck, and we'll figure out who's going to play on the other side. But let's just say Tuck and Thompson, a duo. And then you say McLeod and Doan, a duo, right? And you say, okay, you have McLeod and Doan. That's a duo that you know can play well and you can trust. But if you put McLeod, Thompson, and Tuck together, then all of a sudden Doan is kind of on an island by himself. And so I almost feel like you got to focus on duos. Tuck, Thompson, there's a duo. McLeod, Doan, there's a duo. Would I go Oslin and Quinn as a duo? And then Roseanne maybe gets moved somewhere else. Maybe he's on the top line with Thompson and Tuck. But I think you have to find a center. Maybe that's Krebs. And you say, you know what? Like, we got to elevate Krebs. And Krebs and Quinn will be a duo, and we'll figure out what else comes about. But you have to find duos now, so that at least you're saying you have depth. You have a duo on the top line, a duo on the second line, a duo on the third line, maybe even a duo on the fourth line. And you're saying, okay, I've spread it around, but I'm going to focus on duos. It's almost like we talk about this a lot with other teams, how they configure their lines. And sometimes it's obvious. Sometimes they're focusing on duos. And sometimes it's not that obvious. They're just loading up a top line. But right now, playing Utah and Colorado, probably would have to go with, you know, four different duos in your lines, and then see what else falls in.
Well, and see what happens literally almost shift by shift, because I can't even imagine the number of combinations we could potentially see here in the next two games based on what they're dealing with.
I think it's a lottery. It's like a lottery. You could You could find Greenway, Quinn.
So be ready when luck strikes, Krebs. Says the New yeah. York Lottery.
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. Maybe we should have, instead of a 50-50 in the building, we're going to have a lottery. Give us your combination. And if you have the combination that is being used more often, minute-wise, in the game, you'll win something.
And the minutes got eliminated basically in the third period for Dunn, Malenstein, and Ostlund. They went down yes. to three lines. They obviously got production from the McLeod-Thompson-Tuck line on two occasions, got within one, didn't close it to even, and ultimately gave up two empty netters. And amidst
I've not scored over three goals now in seven games. And right. I know you look at, oh, shootout win, you won 4-3. No, I'm not counting a shootout win as a goal. Mm-hmm. Like, since beating Toronto on that Friday night on the back-to-back games, home and home, the next night in Toronto, no, you haven't scored over three goals. And three is usually what you would want to get to, and you have, but I feel like now it's four, right? It's yeah. trying to get to that fourth goal.
Well, you don't have to tell me that, because all I ever do is say, you need to score. You need to yeah. score. You need to score. Just look at the top teams again this year. Like, it's all well and good to shave the defensive side and goals against. I get it. But that Toronto second end of the back-to-back, we have seen too many empty net goals against this year and not yeah. enough empty net goals for. And they were in a position leading in the back half of the third period where mm-hmm. if they could have got it to the final 2 minutes and got an empty netter, that would have been four. It would yes. have been back-to-back wins. These are the situational moments in a season that can, and obviously you can't project all the injuries that were going to happen after that. I get that.
Could have gotten four against Columbus in OT. Could have yes. gotten four against Boston in OT. You
but it was more of a
there.
Regulation four that yes. was attainable in that Toronto game to me.
It would have been the start. It would have been the start of maybe continuing on yes. that on that way.
100%. So again, you can't change what's past. You can only move forward. And the challenge, a challenge that happened within the loss to Carolina, was a tough night for Byram and Kesselring. So now mm-hmm. the pairings are also, in the absence of Dahlin, likely to be significantly different when they take to the ice tomorrow against the Mammoth.
Well, you would think, right, that it's going to be a change. And I think that you have to look at your top four. So Samuelson was playing with Dahlin a lot. Okay, well, then maybe Powers just slides into that spot instead of going Samuelson-Bryson like they started against Carolina, so that you could keep Power and Timmins and Byram and Kesselring together. Now you got to change it up. Maybe you put Power there with Samuelson, and then you say, okay, let's see what Bo Byram will do with Connor Timmins. So, yeah, your group of six is going to look different, but I feel, Duffer, that this is not just because of the Carolina game. I feel mm-hmm. like it's been a few games that, you know, we've been wanting the group on the back end to do a little bit more to help support the offense. And look, we saw Owen Power get a goal. That was great, you know, especially in the absence of Dahlin. Like, you got to get some offense from the back end. But at the end of the day, you want goals, and I want to give up less. It's how does your group of six defensemen defend, and how they're not, you know, Lindy Ruff pointed out, you end up with, it's the fourth goal that Carolina scores, right? Eric Robinson, he got behind Byram. It's not a good goal that Alex Lyon gave up, but still, mm-hmm. like, you don't want to give these opportunities 30 seconds into a third period where you're down by two and all of a sudden you're down by three goals.
Of course, the subplot to every NHL game this year is, what does it do for the individual's cause to make the Olympics in 2026 in Italy? Yeah. So our poll question of the day, how many Sabres are going to be at the Olympic Games? Obviously, we know Dahlin, who's on leave right now and in Sweden and skating with Frölunda while he attends to a personal matter, is on Team Sweden. How many mm-hmm. others? Who knows? Ryan S. Clark from ESPN is going to join us to dissect the potential incredibly difficult decisions that have to be made by all nations, specifically Canada and the U.S., as we get set. And of course, the roster has to be decided at the end of December, which then leaves them about 6 weeks to the start of the tournament. Right now, we're 3 months away. And right now, our poll on social media at Sabres Live has people projecting one as the likely number of Sabres yep. at the Olympics. That would be Dahlin, with a hearty two as second right now at almost 30% of the vote, and that would likely be thinking that it's Tage Thompson, or do you think they're thinking someone else?
You know what? It's funny because I answered two at first look. And I think the people that voted, that are voting one, maybe, you know, Dahlin is already in. He was voted as, correct, he was picked as the first six for Sweden. So he's on the team. He's going to the Olympics. Now, I first picked two, and then I was like, ooh, maybe I made a mistake here. Because, so you got Dahlin. Thompson could very much be on Team USA. That's still up in the air, and we're going to talk to Ryan about that, but it could still be up in the air. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen could be on Team Finland. Mm-hmm. Right now, Duffer, do you know that none of the Finns in the NHL have a save percentage above 900? Every single Finnish goaltender is under 900 at this moment. So it's very much up
contagious?
In the air.
Is contagious? Is that the problem?
Yeah, Saros is not helping the case.
He was terrible last night. The team was terrible, but he wasn't very good either.
Saros, Korpisalo, Lankinen, Marilainen, Luukkonen, and Justus Annunen are the six Finnish goaltender in the National Hockey League right now. And three of them are going to get picked. So it could be, so Dahlin is one. Thompson could be a two. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen could be a three. And I do believe that if healthy for the Olympics, Jiří Kulík would be on Team Czechia. So that's why, like, there could be four, but at the same time, there could be one. Like, it's very, very wide open as to how many Sabres would be in the Olympics.
Well, Alexander Mogilny knows the international stage well. He was inducted into the Hall of Fame last night, a Sabre legend, but NHL and international legend indeed. He did not come to Toronto, but addressed through a video that he had recorded the masses that watched globally last night and in Toronto. Here's an excerpt from Alexander the Great.
I can't thank enough Diane and Don Luce and their family, Jeremy and Barney. You were my guiding lights when I came to NHL. It proves that hockey's greatest gift is the people that brings into your life. My path in NHL will shape the teams that believe in me, Buffalo Sabres, where I learned the true meaning of resilience in that blue and gold jersey and was honored to wear a captain patch. What a great hockey town. Vancouver Canucks, where I learned what it means to play for passionate fans in Canada. Hockey City, what a beautiful city that is. Diamonds, Canadian Pacific Northwest. Toronto Maple Leafs, where wearing the historic blue and white was an honor I'll always cherish. There you feel like you're inside the hockey itself every day, unbelievable memories. And New Jersey Devils, where I became part of something truly special, lifting the Stanley Cup in 2000. With an incredible group, wasn't just a career highlight. It was the embodiment of hockey stands for. Teamwork, sacrifice, and unwavering belief. This honor is not my alone. It belongs to everyone who believed me along the way. Thank you for your attention, and goodbye.
Really, really well done.
I got the chills, Duffer. Like, listening to it again, I got chills.
If ever, and this is not to take away from any speech ever, but to each their own, and when you choose to be concise and articulate, and I think very real, like Alex was yesterday, it impacts quickly and for a long time.
It was a great start to a speech when he said, you all know me, I'm not a morning person. And I'm like, I just can think of like so many teammates, right? Alex walking in for a morning skate and be like, ugh, like so grumpy or whatnot. But he goes, I was so excited when I got a call at 3 a.m. from a 416 area code. And, you know, and I got the voice on the others. And then he mentioned he couldn't go to sleep, so he thought of making a coffee. And then he saw a nice chilled bottle of vodka. And he goes, you can tell which one I went for, basically saying he had the vodka at 3 a.m. But, you know, obviously the story of him, you know, defecting communist Russia and Don and Diane Luce and Jeremy Ian and, you know, bringing him over is not a hockey story. It's a human story. And that's why, like, him speaking from his heart was so great. And Lou Lamoriello talking about how important and how big of a part of that Stanley Cup winning New Jersey Devils Alexander Mogilny was. He wasn't scoring 76 goals a year anymore, and he had some knee issues and whatever, but he was such a big part of that Cup winning team in 2000.
Well, they were incredibly balanced, which was, you know, a hallmark of all Devils teams for sure.
Yes.
And I think some would be surprised statistically to look back at how little Alex had in the way of stats in that particular cup year. But, you know, they had young players like Scott Gomez entering the fray mm-hmm. that benefited so much from the likes of Alex and others. And then, as he would prove in years beyond New Jersey, he was still a more than capable scorer. So much from last night. Joe Thornton, of course, was amazing. You can see that on our social. We'll share it there.
Zdeno Chara was really good too. Big Z, amazing.
Amazing. But Z could have delivered it in 100 languages because he's arguably the smartest athlete of all time. Certainly in this game of hockey, I don't know...
Yeah.
If there's ever a rival to the passion that he has for learning and sharing and how that comes like off the tree in the form of leadership, like it's unbelievable.
Michael Farber, one of my favorite, Michael Farber, TSN, did a thing and he called Z a true unicorn. And I laugh because I'm like, we overuse it. But Zdeno Chara is a true unicorn. Thank you in the studio for, you know, the unicorn logo. We haven't seen it in a while. But he goes, true or false with Zdeno Chara, you speak five language and four others that you can actually like understand, and he goes true. You could do at your peak, you could do 40 pull-ups without even stopping. True. You once did 2 marathon in 1 week. True. You did an Ironman in 10 hours and whatever. And he goes, actually, it was better than that. He goes, you once played all 60 minutes of a hockey game. He goes, false. He goes, you could have played all 60 minutes of a hockey game. And Zdeno Chara goes, true. Like, it was amazing, right? And just the guy is, and I remember playing against him in the American Hockey League, and he couldn't skate. And you're like, what is this guy? Like, he's never going to be anything. And he is one of the best to have ever played the game.
A lot of emotion in this first half hour of the show. We'll try to continue that moving forward here. But in the spirit of the holidays, Sabres are partnering with Topps Friendly Markets and Odyssey for a Thanksgiving turkey drive. It's tomorrow. Write it down. Put a reminder in your phone. It's tomorrow yes. morning to benefit Buffalo City Mission and Feed More Western New York. It happens between 7 and 9 a.m. This is an annual event. It happens at the KeyBank Center surface lot, the Topps Market in Tonawanda at 890 Yonge Street, and Topps in West Seneca, 355 Orchard Park Road. For every 20-pound turkey dropped off, or the equivalent of a frozen 20-pound turkey, the Sabres will give the donor one voucher, good for two tickets, to an upcoming Sabres game. We love this day on the calendar. Can't wait to see you tomorrow morning. Maximum one voucher, which is good for two tickets, will be allotted per person. Thank you in advance for your generosity. Tomorrow, we have Olympic talk.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up with Ryan S. Clark from ESPN, right here on Sabres.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Olympic talk coming up, but we have a road crew party to inform you of. If you have not heard already, Sabres road crew heading back to Nashville, and it turns into a watch party this time around, because on Monday, January the 19th, the Sabres will be in Carolina. So we're going to have this road crew party as a watch party, and there'll be alumni, all sorts of specials going on. And of course, Sabres fans make the trip for that and then stay in Nashville for the next night when the Sabres are visiting the Predators. All the proceeds support the Sabres Foundation. Secure your spot at sabres.com/roadcrew. We're 3 months out from the first game of the Olympic men's hockey tournament. Ryan S. Clark from ESPN is on to join us and discuss the ever-changing opinions of who should be on the roster for Team USA, Team Canada, and to a certain extent, all the others. But I think some of the others are a little bit more locked based on the limited pool that these nations have to choose from. Ryan, it's so good to see you and hear you again. I have one question and one question only. Which of the youngest superstars in the NHL are going to continue to kick down the door in the next 4 or 5 weeks and get themselves onto one of these premier Olympic teams in the U.S. and Canada?
Well, it seems like the odds on favorites would be that guy in Chicago and then that other guy in San Jose. But to be serious, everything that Connor Bedard and Macklin Celebrini have done this season really pushes it, the fact that they're going to make it exceptionally difficult for Hockey Canada when it comes to that selection process. Because, look, Canada's strength is its depth. There's no denying that. It's the same thing with the United States as well. But when you look at forward for Team Canada, there's going to be a discussion about, well, what makes the most sense for them down the middle. And so right now, if we're going through hypotheticals, it's going to be Connor McDavid, Sidney Crosby. You figure Nathan MacKinnon gets pushed to wing. There have been some who thought maybe you have MacKinnon at center and you push Crosby to the wing. But either way, that's a very first world problem for Canada or any nation to have. And then you have Braden Point. And then, of course, Nick Suzuki and what he has done. Nick Suzuki's played in a way that you don't want to say the word lock because anything could happen, but he's made a really strong case as a two-way center. So then it raises that question of, well, then what do you do next? Do you have Celebrini because he's this two-way player? Do you go with Bedard because the offensive talent that he has just been unparalleled this year? But then again, what does that mean for others? Because look, if this had been 3-4 weeks ago, how does this look with Brendan Hagel and the slow start that he's had along with the Lightning? So now that's changed. You look at others, like if you're Mark Stone and you're fully healthy and you're Mitch Marner and you pair them with Braden Point, that's a line that could really shut down people but get goals as well. But also, do you want to leave off someone like a Seth Jarvis? And then also you think about someone the way like Tom Wilson has played too and the size that he gives. And so there's going to be a lot of options for Canada. But if you are Connor Bedard and Macklin Celebrini and you keep this going, you're only going to make the decision tougher. And also, it kind of reminds you of 2010, where people are like, how do you leave Steven Stamkos off? And then you look at how 2010 ended, and it's like, that team was so good. They did not need a guy who could score 60 goals, which is just wild to still even think about 15 years later.
Well, I think Team Canada needs Tom Wilson if Sam Bennett is not going to be on the team, because the U.S. are going to roll out both Tkachuks, and, you know, they're going to try to play the same style that they did at the Four Nations when we know the fights and the start of the game and all of that. But I'm putting my hand up and I'm saying both Celebrini and Bedard on Team Canada. I think Mark Stone probably is one that's got to be a little nervous right now as to if he's going to be on the team. So I want the young kids. I want the excitement. I want to see young kids. I want to see them play, like, in the tournament. Maybe the medal rounds doesn't get there and whatnot. Now, what about Team USA? Because as you put in your article, you do have Tage Thompson in the top 12 with Team USA. But that leaves out, like, a Buffalo's own Patrick Kane and a Jason Robertson, or, you know, an Alex DeBrincat. So what did you see in Tage that you're like, I got to have him on my team, but the other ones I'm not putting them on?
So this is sort of the hard part right now with Team USA, is it all depends on how certain injuries are going to work. So with everything being equal in terms of health and what it was when it came time to publish the story, Tage Thompson is someone who makes a lot of sense because you can use him down the middle. You can use him on the wing. Of course, he's been on the wing lately. He gives you size. He gives you a goal score. He's someone who can do a variety of different things. But where it gets complicated is what happens when players get healthy. Because before Patrick Kane's injury, he was averaging a point per game, and he was looking like one of the more menacing wingers in the NHL. But then there's another name. Like, yes, you mentioned Alex DeBrincat, who's another person that comes up, which it feels like with Team USA, whether it's Alex DeBrincat or Frank Nazar or Shane Pinto, there's all these options that keep coming up. But another one to keep in mind, if Vincent Trocheck can get healthy and find consistency, how much does that change the order of things for Team USA? And more specifically, someone like Tage Thompson, because when it comes to winger, it seems like that's the area where if you're Team USA, you've got a lot of answers. Because if you're looking at the left, you're looking at Gensel, Brady Tkachuk, JT Miller, Clayton Keller. You could do things with Cole Caulfield or Matthew Nice on either side. Then, of course, you move Jack Hughes to wing as opposed to having him down the middle. Matthew Tkachuk, Matt Boldy, Kyle Connor. That's talent. That's skill. That's speed. That's strength. That's people who can work in the corners. It does everything for you. And not saying that you couldn't use Tage Thompson, but if Vincent Trocheck is healthy and those are the wingers you have, if you're Team USA, you have to ask yourself, what sort of player do you think fits within that scheme? And as we saw with what he did in Four Nations, Vincent Trocheck in his game, it works in the sense of that two-way anchor down the middle, but also you think about the profile of centers. You'd have Matthews, you have Eichel, you have Larkin, and you'd have Trocheck. Three of your four are known for being really defensive, you know, players and very good defensive players. And so that's just it. It's like, this is what makes Tage Thompson so fascinating because he provides you with so much. But it's a matter of, do you want his skill set, the skill set of someone like Trocheck, the skill set of someone like Patrick Kane, or is it someone altogether different who maybe makes a surge in the last month?
I have that difference maker. His name is Cutter Gauthier, and he could have another huge month and be leading the NHL in goals by the time this decision needs to be made. And
You're not wrong.
And I love Matthew Nyes, but so many of the names, including Gauthier, to me, are jumping off the page more than Nyes at this particular moment. And I don't know. I get it. It's unrealistic, but man, it would be weird to walk away from like a guy who's leading the league in goals.
So to that point, though, and this is where, again, it gets fascinating, because there is a point in time where if you looked at Team USA, you thought, I could see Clayton Keller, but maybe you can't, because like he's been good, but he isn't having the best year compared to others. Mm-hmm. And then what have we seen from Clayton Keller lately? Like, we have seen him just look exceptionally strong, mm-hmm. and yet you're still like fourth line. Yeah. I was like, well, like it's nothing against Clayton Keller, but like Jake Gensel is Jake Gensel. Brady Tkachuk is Brady Tkachuk. JT Miller is not a fourth liner. It doesn't matter how many points or what that guy does. Mm-hmm. Everything in his game, which makes him so versatile. You look at him, you look at Larkin, you look at Boldy, and you're just going, that's what I want. That is what I want, for reasons we don't even need to get into. And so that is the interesting thing with just both Team USA and Canada is, for all the reasons we've mentioned of what could happen in a week, 2 weeks, a month, who knows? But either way, if you are another nation looking at this, you're just going, oh no, I feel so bad for the United States and Canada. How will they survive this dark period of mourning with their selection process?
I don't know that I'd have JT Miller on my Team USA, to be honest with you.
Really?
Like, I think there's too much talent, and I don't know, like, I just don't see the fit, and maybe that's just me. But another part of the game that is so important, especially in those tournaments, is going to be goaltending. Team USA has like six goalies to pick from, and Team Canada is like, other than Logan Thompson, who is playing well right now in the crease? So according to, like, when you wrote that article, you saw Hellebuck, Ottinger, and Swayman for Team USA. I agree with you, although Thatcher Demko may want to say hello, Spencer Knight may want to say hello, Joey DeCord may want to say hello, like, and we're not even talking about Dustin Wolf, and I'm like, there's seven, right, that you can pick from. So what do you think, first of all, do you think Connor Hellebuyck would be the number one, or is this playoffs failure and the fact that he lost in the Four Nations last year makes that spot available to an Ottinger or somebody else?
Funny you mentioned goaltending. Judging by your helmets, I'm assuming you're a fan of goalies. Did you ever play at all?
I'm very much of a fan. I draw him in my books every day.
Okay, I didn't know if you ever played at all. You have a cool stick collection as well. Now that I'm done being an idiot and will be cast out of Buffalo forever, you would think that Connor Hellebuyck would be the starter because, like, while he lost in the Four Nations, was he the reason they lost the Four Nations? But also, he is the greatest American goalie of all time. He's won three Vezinas. No American goalie's ever done that.
Yeah.
He's won the MVP. Like, we can sit here and talk about the playoffs like all we want with him, and it's a fair conversation. But at the same time, no American goalie has done what he has done. So you would think he would be the starter. You would think Jake Andrew would be second. It is that third spot that is wildly fascinating, because even in the story, when you talked about Thatcher Demko, that is a name that you just can't help but look at and think, okay, what will it take for him to work his way into that conversation? And the way that he has started, you are absolutely seeing why, because the Canucks are a different team when they have a healthy Thatcher Demko versus one that isn't healthy or just isn't in the lineup. Living here in Seattle, which is the boxes can tell you for another week, you see a lot of Joey Decord, and that's another name that you just sit there and wonder, excuse me, like, how does he factor into this? Considering it was just, what, a year ago where it's like, does he play for Canada? Does he play for the U.S.? Does he play for Switzerland?
Switzerland, yes, exactly.
And that's another conversation for another time we'll get into. But then what you're saying about Spencer Knight is exceptionally accurate, too, because with Spencer Knight, there's always been this conversation of the talent and the potential, but just when would it all connect at the right time for him? And what you're seeing with what he's, along with just what the Blackhawks are doing as a whole, you're thinking, okay, are they further ahead of schedule than maybe what people thought they would be this year? But if he keeps this going, it's very interesting considering there's a familiarity that they have with him, given he went through the national team development program. And he is one of those guys that from the moment he was drafted, believe what, 10th, I want to say, or 10th or 16th, it's been so long ago now. But point is when you're a first-round goalie, there's an expectation. And more importantly, when you're a first-round goalie from the United States, which at this point, the U.S. and Russia have been producing goalies like no end, you're kind of thinking at some point, maybe this is a guy that can crack into an Olympic roster.
It's incredible.
I think you were confusing the 16th overall was me. I was 16th overall, so that's why you had 16 on the brain. So, yes.
But
I did play goal, and I was drafted 16th overall. So yes.
No, I mean, I can make you feel bad. I remember watching you when I was a kid, and I'm 40 now.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Yes.
Well, it's worth noting that
I still look older than Duffer, though, so that's fine. No, that's okay. No. Duffer's younger.
Chicago has the number one save percentage right now in the NHL.
Yes.
This is a statement no one could have broached 6 weeks ago. So all credit to Spencer Knight and company for the start they've had. Ryan, we love this. I really hope that when you get settled in your new place that we can revisit these Olympic rosters like a month from now, if that would be cool with you.
Absolutely, because at this point, who knows what is going to happen? Because with this sport, everything is just absolutely, because like, not being funny, but yesterday when I got the email from Sam about coming on, it's like, yeah, sure, we'll talk about Yuri Coolidge. And then after that, you see the news and you're like, A, you don't know how long he's going to be out, but B, if he is.
Yeah.
How does that affect things for Czechia? And
right.
That could have quite a bit of impact.
Yeah, and we haven't even talked about how excited many people should be for Sweden just based on how good Carlson has been this year and what that does for their forward dynamic. It's amazing. Ryan, great insight. Everybody, check out his work, always ESPN.com. Good luck with the move. We'll see you soon.
You got it. Thanks, everyone.
There is Ryan Clark from ESPN, and we want you to get involved in your kids' hockey journey by starting them here. Our Learn to Play program includes a full set of gear, 6 weeks of instruction, and a ticket voucher presented by WellNow Urgent Care. No experience needed. Upgrade to Team Tuck in your child.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You can skate at KeyBank Center with Alex. Register now at sabres.com/learn-to-play. Around the NHL as quick as we can. Next on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live. presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabres and Mammoth tomorrow in Utah. How many Sabres will be on Olympic rosters? It's our poll question today at Sabres Live because we're 3 months out from the first Olympic game. Right now, the voting skews towards one Sabre being at the Olympics. 52% of the voters suggesting that. As we know, Rasmus Dahlin is already on Team Sweden. So continue to vote there. Colton Ellis, real quick, does he start tomorrow or Thursday?
Thursday.
Okay. What about last night? How did we both end up on Dazzled and Disturbed in the same game? Because I am so disturbed by this Columbus team that has lost four in a row, somehow frittered away the game against, I get it, it's Connor McDavid. Columbus couldn't have handled it more poorly, in my opinion, last night.
Yeah, they couldn't have handled it more poorly because it's 4-3 and Jack Roslovic takes a penalty for the Oilers with just over 2 minutes left in the game. Just to see Jake Walman score a shorthanded goal while Columbus had the puck
in their
zone.
It was an own goal.
Well, it's a known goal. It's a weird goal, but they had the puck. They had possession, and they threw it away. Ends up in the back of the net, and then just to see Jack Roslovic score in overtime. He was going to be the donkey for taking a penalty at the end of the game, and he becomes the hero after all of it.
Sammy, can we work daily donkey into our lexicon
yes.
here?
I really, unicorn and donkeys.
I really like this moving forward. Okay, so that was last night. The Oilers win. It was actually a crazy good night. Once again, so many overtimes. Tonight's schedule is much bigger. There's nine games. There are so many amazing matchups. Toronto, Boston, Bruins have won six in a row. LA, Montreal, both teams are 6-2-2 in the last 10 games. Dallas and Ottawa, both are 6-1-3 in their last 10 games. Washington is hopeless. They've lost 6 of 7. They're up against Carolina, who've won 5 of 6. We have the bottom two teams in the league going head-to-head. St. Louis and Calgary. We have the top two teams in the league going head-to-head in Anaheim and Colorado. What a schedule tonight.
And Minnesota, San Jose. Minnesota got Matt Zuccarello back. It makes a big difference. And San Jose, and we talked about Celebrini, they're flying. They're fun to watch. And both of those teams are like the Sharks are one game over 500. The Wild are 500. But both teams looking to get going, you know, on the positive side.
Sharks are 5-0-1 in their last six. Winnipeg has lost three in a row as they continue their trip in Vancouver. And we are getting set for a very important three-game stretch for the Sabres starting tomorrow in Utah. We'll see you then.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.